Welcome to the prolific teaching ministry of Pastor Emmanuel Iren, lead pastor of Celebration Church International. It is his vision to partner with you for your progress and joy in the faith. Ready, set, grow.
All right, so I want to share something, and just to build the foundation for what I'm about to share, I want to say something. There are two terminologies that are very common in the church that need to be understood in its proper context. Listen, it doesn't mean that the contexts in which they are understood are wrong. It just means that there is a difference between what is fundamentally right and what is superficially right. And I will explain what I'm saying. The concepts I want to explain to you are sin and holiness. And explaining those contexts will help you understand where I'm going. What is sin? Sin is described in the Bible with two words. Hamartia and kata. Kata is spelled K-H-A-T-A. Hamartia is spelled H-A-R-M-A-T-I-A. And both words actually mean to miss the mark. Please, what did I say it means? To miss the mark. So if you are an archer and you have your bow and your arrow and you target and you release it and you miss the mark, that's hamartia. Now, in what context is that sin? You know the law of God, you try to meet up to it and you fail. That's sin. You miss the mark. You tried to act in a certain way with a certain degree of moral excellence and you were not able to do it. You tried to stop that habit and you couldn't stop. You tried to stop lying. You couldn't stop. Or you determined not to be angry again. And then someone provoked you. You just couldn't control yourself. And you found yourself saying some things and doing some things that you vowed never to say and do again. Now, that's missing the mark. But there is another dimension of sin that must be understood. For instance, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. Zoteka pale te kopres. Everybody read Matthew chapter 7, verse 6 together. 1, 2, go. It says, do not give what is holy to dogs. I'm going to give you another perspective of sin. And that first one is important and fundamental. But there is a secondary perspective that is also very important. Sin is misdirected virtue. Misdirected virtue. When you give what is holy to dogs. And for you to understand that, I have to describe something else. Oh, Jesus. I have this word for someone. But let's get on with the teaching. Now, he says, don't give what is holy to dogs. What does that mean? And that's why we also have to investigate the meaning of the word holy. For some of you, the meaning of holiness is moral excellence. When you say, I don't do any of these bad things, especially the popular vices. I'm not a drunkard. I don't sleep around. You know, I am holy. And you are right. In a sense, that's holiness. But what then do you do with the fact that God called a mountain holy? Sinai was called the holy mount. How can a mountain be holy if holiness is moral excellence? Can a mountain be celibate? Come on, answer me. Can a mountain restrain itself from lying? Can a mountain tell the truth? So it means there must be another definition of holiness. If the things, for instance, that were used in the Old Testament temple were called holy, there must be a different definition of holiness if holiness was used for inanimate objects. Another thing you must reckon is this. God himself is called holy. And if your definition of holiness is that you try not to lie and you try to do the right things, that definition doesn't sit right with God. Because God cannot lie. He cannot. He cannot. He's not trying not to. Come on, are you with me? So there must be a different definition, and I will tell you what it is. To be holy means to be separate. Separate. Holiness describes excellence. I'll give you a simple example. In many African homes, there are utensils and plates and cups, spoons that anyone can use to eat. But in many homes, if you grew up in a home like mine, there are some special plates only for daddy. Is that right? Yes. Now, guess what? That plate is holy because it is separate. If you doubt, go and use it and see what mommy will do. So holiness describes sacredness. So when we say there is no God like our God, that's holiness. He's separate. He's set apart. There is none like him. When you say there is none like him, you are describing his holiness in that particular context. Please, do you understand what I'm saying? So when we say, do not take what is holy and give to dogs, we are saying, we are describing a particular type of sin. Where you take something in and of itself is not sinful in its right context. When it is used for God, it is not sinful. But when you direct it to anything else, it becomes sin. I'm going to give you examples. For instance, covetousness is a sin. Come on, are you with me? Both in the Old and New Testament, it is emphasized unequivocally. One of the Ten Commandments is that you shall not covet. Plain and simple. And the Bible says in the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3, open there as fast as you can. Ephesians 5, 3, we'll also read Colossians 3, 5. Ephesians 5, 3 and Colossians 3, 5. Ephesians 5, 3 says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named amongst you. So to let you know how serious covetousness is, he puts it in the category of fornication and uncleanness. He says, let it not be once named amongst you. So, you see, we are people devoid of greed as believers. Amen, somebody. That's important. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, it says, therefore, put to death in your members fornication, uncleanness, passions, evil desires, and covetousness. It says, put it to death. And it says, covetousness is idolatry. Anything you covet becomes an idol, a new god in your life. And that is why, oh my God, you will understand what I'm saying now. But the same word, covet, in a certain context, God says you should do it. The Bible says, covet earnestly the best gifts. The Bible says to covet. Covet spiritual gifts. And why is God saying that? Someone says, oh, it's a different word. It's the exact same word. The word used there is used for envy and covetousness, you know, in several other instances. So the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, it says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. The same word was used in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. Pursue love and covet spiritual gifts. The word translated covet or desire is covet in other texts. Covet the spiritual gifts. So listen, now you're wondering, God, is covetousness right or wrong? And that is what I'm telling you. There are some things that are wrong when you put them in the wrong context. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it means there is a type of passion that when directed at God is not wrong. You can't go wrong. You can't love God too much. Are you aware? But you can, any other thing you love like that will be a sin. That's what I'm trying to explain to you. That there is a dimension of sin that in and of itself is not wrong. It is just directed at the wrong thing. Now, listen to me. Sexual desire, is it sinful? It's not. It is when you direct it at the wrong person that it becomes a sin. I remember when I got married and how weird it was. Because I'm thinking to myself, so you mean to tell me the night before it was a sin? Some of you who are married and you know, you did it the Bible way, you know what I'm saying. It's not like Pastor Peter now. Anything before yesterday night, sin. But from today, in fact, it's a sin not to do it. Are you aware? The Bible says to render yourself due benevolence. This is part of your Christian duties. I mean, think about that. That means in and of itself, there are some things that are not wrong. They just must not be directed at the wrong things. Covetousness is like that. Jealousy is like that. For instance, the Bible is replete with instructions against envy and jealousy. But then God introduces himself. He says, I am jealous. His name is Jealous. He introduces it as one of his names in the Old Testament. And someone will say, how can God be jealous? Is jealousy not a sin? Now, you have to understand the context. And I explained this in Deeper Lagos. You might need to go and watch it if I don't have to go through everything again. If you are espoused to someone and you see the person flirting with another person, there is something called godly jealousy. It is godly. I'm not making it up. Paul describes something as godly jealousy. In fact, if something ever happens in your relationship like that, God forbid, and your partner was not worried, that's a red flag. If you're in a relationship and your partner is not jealous at all, he calls you, where are you? And the lady says, I'm in my male friend's house at 11:30 p.m. And I say, oh, okay, greet him for me. And I says, give him the phone. Bro, how far now? How are you there? What will you think about that? It means he doesn't take you seriously. He has no plans for you. So there is a type of jealousy called godly jealousy. And God introduces himself as a jealous God, proudly. And he has every right to. If he brought you out of Egypt, defeated Pharaoh for your sake, parted the Red Sea, fed you in the wilderness, he brings you to Sinai. He now says, you know what? Before you go on, I'm jealous. I didn't invest in our relationship all this while for you to be doing whatever you like. Come on, are you getting this? There is a type of covetousness that is godly. There is a type of jealousy that is godly. Where Elijah told God, I'm jealous for your sake. Look at these people building godly, ungodly altars. I'm jealous for your sake. Where Jesus goes to the temple and sees the house of prayer turned into merchandise. He can't take it. He brings out a whip. Jesus, that is gentle and mild normally, brings out a whip and drives them out. In fact, the word we call zeal, all right, was actually rendered jealousy in the Old Testament. There is a type of jealousy that stirs up what we now call in its purest form, zeal. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying here? And then there is another virtue that is not exactly wrong if you direct it at the right thing. And that is anger. Please, what did I call it? Let me say this to you. Our problem is that we are angry at the wrong things and at the wrong people. But there is someone you must be angry at all the time, and that's the devil. So there is something called holy anger. And I want to teach you on it briefly, and then we pray. Because some of you are one anger away from deliverance. I'm telling you. You have been too complacent. The devil is playing games in your life and you can't see it. I've prayed for people so many times. I've seen things. And some things just annoy me. How the devil will just come into a family, attack everybody. It's a wicked world. Wicked world. Please, are you listening to me? Isn't it annoying that some people, to enrich themselves, will covenant with unborn children? And then children are born into the world and are going through some silly experiences. It's annoying. And at some point, you got to get angry. Something called holy anger. You can't go wrong. It's not a sin. In fact, there is a type of anger that it will be a sin not to be angry. The sin is that you are probably not angry. Come on, are you with me, please? And so the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 16, from verse 16, that there was a young lady possessed with the devil, a spirit of divination. And people were using that to make money. She would give people false prophecies because, some people in the church are so gullible. They don't care about the source as long as they tell you. In fact, sometimes they tell you what you already know. They tell you your phone number that you know before, and you are surprised. A generation that is so easily impressed. Too easily impressed. And so this woman, all that she was saying was accurate, but the spirit was wrong. And so the men of God were walking past every day, and she would do the same thing every day, every day, every day. There are some things you may be tolerating in your life. You know this thing is wrong. It's not of God, but for some reason, you are not vexed. And the Bible says one day they were passing again, and she did it. And the Bible says he was grieved in his spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen, it's a working of God. When the Holy Spirit moves you to grief, that operation of the Spirit is happening in this meeting. There are some things you've been tolerating. In fact, sometimes, some of it, you didn't even suspect that this thing was wrong, or that there was something fishy about it, or that the devil was responsible. But for some reason, all of a sudden, has it happened that you were even praying calmly and then you got angry? Has it happened to you? You were praying gently. You didn't get there with intention to be angry. You were just praying calmly and then all of a sudden you began to roar. That's the manifestation of the spirit I'm saying. You get angry. You confront the spirits and say, enough is enough. Come on, are you with me? Someone here is going to say, enough is enough. Enough is enough of the devil. Where God brings out that woman and says, ought not this daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound these many years, be loose? Ought not she? Ought not. So I'm asking you, after these many years, should you not be free by now? Should you not be healed by now? Now, and by the way, I want to quickly explain something. You know, some people just say, yeah, we have authority in Christ. You are absolutely right. But now, there is a responsibility you have. Jesus said, see, I see Satan fall like lightning. He now says, I give you power to tread upon. Satan has fallen, and he now tells you, step on him. Don't think that just because you are a Christian, it absorbs you of the responsibility to trample. Jesus said you should trample. He has given you the power. You must use it. It's just like someone having a gun and being oppressed and saying, oh, because I have a gun. No. You just might have to use it. I see Satan fall like lightning, and he says, step on it. So I am telling you something. A Christian should not be oppressed, but a Christian can. Are you listening to me? There's a reason the Bible says the devil runs to and fro looking for whom to devour. You think it was unbelievers that text was written to? Go and read it. He says, resist him steadfast in the faith. So even as a believer, you must resist. Resist the enemy. Resist the enemy. If you give him an inch, he will take a mile. Resist. And time again, I have seen how these things start from something little. And if you don't do something about it, it will linger. You know, something happened in our church. One of our members has a younger sister, GS2 thereabouts. And then this girl in her class, she has a classmate that used to act funny. During the classmates can just fall and start shaking and saying some strange things. And everybody got used to it. We just allow her, when she's done, to stand up. But before they knew it, it started happening to this girl too. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, don't play in this world. I've seen things. How do you explain it? You send your sister to school, and she comes back with a strange spirit. Now, in class, everywhere, her own was now worse than the person that started it. Now, it was such a burden to the school, they wanted to send her home. They wanted to expel her because it was too much. She would just start with violently saying some strange things. So she brought her. I confronted the spirit, cast the spirit out. You know, she manifested, fell on the floor. As I turned my back to go, the Lord said, cast the spirit out of every relative that the spirit might have affected. And so I came back and I said, and in the name of Jesus, any other relative you have affected, I command you to leave in the name of Jesus. As I said that, the elder sister that brought her started doing like this. So now, in days, few days, one spirit left unchecked has started spreading. Are you listening to me? Some people, it's sickness, just strange sickness. It will start getting worse. The doctor said they don't know what is happening. You continue treating it. There's a member of our church who told me his mom did an X-ray, a scan, and they saw a hole in her heart. So I said, give her the phone. As we were praying, I saw a vision. She was lying in bed. She had been bedridden for months, unable to move. I saw a vision. I saw what looked like a small monkey close to, just sitting on her shoulder, and the tail of the monkey tied around her chest, where that hole was. I said, you foul spirit of infirmity, I command you, leave. Now, she got relieved immediately. someone who couldn't move, who couldn't get up from bed, she got up immediately. In fact, you trust an African woman, that same day she went to the market. And has been fine ever since. Now, listen to me. What if nobody addressed the spirit? Before you know it, from this, it will lead to cancer. From cancer, it will lead to... What do you think? When I tell you someone had four terminal diseases and was healed instantly, you think they were all natural? One spirit can have five manifestations. Ought not this daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has plagued. Listen, it's a plague of Satan. The doctor will do his own professional part. Give it a name, and it has a name. The doctor is not wrong. But it's a plague. You know, listen, God saved me. There are some things, if you preach, the Holy Ghost has to back it up with signs. Otherwise, there will be a problem. Imagine me preaching in London, out of nowhere, something I've never said before. I just felt a push in my spirit. I said, I have discovered 9 out of 10 times hormonal imbalance, ovarian cysts, PCOS, or whatever they call it. I said, it's of the devil. It's an affliction. You know, I'm talking in London. So, someone like, yeah, mate, what are you talking about, mate? In it. But as I was still talking, someone who had had it since she was 15, a demon started manifesting. She fell to the ground. We cast the demon out. No need for further proof. They saw it, Abby. So for some, they might be arguing scientifically. What do you mean? I'm sorry, sir. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were. So, if you need a healing, it's not always a medical condition. It could be an oppression of the devil. Healing those who were oppressed of the devil. Listen, you may not always have a pastor around. Learn to get annoyed. I'm really grateful for the kind of father God gave me. Listen, my dad may not know many things, but one thing he taught me is prayer. I saw firsthand the power of prayer. About 15 years ago, my mom began to develop joint pains. It started gradually. She tied her elbow. After a while, she had to use bandage on the other elbow. After a while, one knee. After a while, the second knee. It got to a point she couldn't go to work again. It got to a point they were tying bandage almost everywhere on her body. What is this? You know, when it was starting gradually, mommy, what is wrong with you? Your elbow, it is well. You know, we have religious phrases. We're not saying it is not. Listen, it may not be well. I hope you get what I'm saying. Take authority and stop saying. Do you understand what I'm saying? Take authority when you need to take authority. Sometimes faith statements are just religious excuse. You're excusing yourself of taking authority. It is well. They tied the left one. It is well. Tied the right one. It is well. Until she couldn't walk in bed. I will never forget. I was in the parlor watching TV in the living room. My sister came, said, Daddy is calling us. We entered the room. We saw him standing in front of the bed, looking at my mom in pains. That time she was crying almost every minute. I had never seen my dad like that. He was angry. And with all of us standing in front of the bed, he pointed at my mom. He said, this woman must be healed today. Are you listening to me? We fed off his energy. So we started praying. We started praying. Listen, fellows, I'm not telling you something, a testimony that was shared in church. I'm saying my own family, brothers and sisters, from that night till now, no more joint pain. She was diagnosed arthritis, all right? From that night till now, no more. From that night. Something that had lingered for months, one night ended. Listen, you, it is this afternoon. This afternoon. Listen, I want you to get angry in your spirit. Hallelujah. That virtue of long suffering is not for Satan. It's not for Satan. It's not for sickness. You are allowed to be impatient with the devil. You are allowed to be angry at the devil. Be angry at the condition. And say, even if it has lingered for so long, today, ought not this thing to be loosed? Jesus looked at that woman and said, thou art loosed. Woman, thou art loosed. I don't know if you can receive that prophetic word right now. You are loosed. Amen. Loosed from infirmity. Amen. Loosed from career frustration. Amen. Loosed from bondage. Atamaya. Well, that's why we're here. So I'm going to give you a few minutes. You see, there are a few ways we know you are angry. When you're angry, some things will change. Number one, your tone will change. It is not intentional. When you're angry, you shout. Is that not it? It's a law in the spirit. See, there are things that will not answer until you're angry. You don't stand in front of Lazarus' tomb and say, Lazarus. You don't say, Lazarus. You are too cute. Get angry! Have you ever gotten so angry in prayer, you didn't care about your makeup, you removed your wig, you flung your shoes? Listen, another sign is tenacity. Come on, are you with me? Your tone will change. Your tenacity will change. There must be desperation. There is something called importunity in prayer. Jesus, when he was teaching on this, he said, even if it is an unrighteous judge, he's using that as a contrast to your righteous, loving father. Even if it is an unrighteous judge, if someone comes with petition every day, standing at the door, Jesus said, the person will say, even if I am an unrighteous judge and I fear not God, lest this woman weary me, let me answer her. So he's telling you that so that you say, how much more your heavenly father? Keep on knocking, the Bible says, and the door shall be open. Keep on asking, and you shall receive. Anybody angry today? Yeah. Another thing that can stir up anger is revelation. When it suddenly dawns on you, this is not normal. It ought not. This is what Jesus was trying to imply when he brought out that woman and said, ought not this woman, this daughter of Abraham, this child of a covenant, whom Satan has bound, ought not she be loosed? Ought not. That's a matter of revelation. Come on, are you with me? I've seen it in the word. This is not me. No. Based on what I understand in the word, I therefore abominate this. Not in my life and not in my family. Say this with me. Say, not in my life. Not in my family. Say it again. Say, not in my life. Say, not in my family. Let me test how angry you are. Increase your tone. Shout it. Say, not in my life. Say, not in my family. I want to give you a few minutes. Listen, the Lord told me he will honor everyone's faith today. He told me that. I want to give you a few minutes. Take any posture you like. Intercede for your family. Intercede for yourself. Not in my life. Not in my family. Oh, you ought to be more angry than that. Oh, you ought to be more angry than that. Oh, you ought to be more angry than that. Satom at unsete kapale teke, ronde kapako sopre teke pokushete, let on som prendon de kapila teke toke rika la toke, retoke teke pereteke pereteke, retoko preteke peke teke te, rotoko preteke pele teke pete, ruteke pele teke pele te, ruto te 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 te. Rute kete ke poku shete ke pele te kete. Rote te 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 te. Rote ke pete ke to kete. Rote te 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 te. Rete te 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 to 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 te 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 te. Rote te 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 to te 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 to te te to te te. Rote te 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 te. Rote te 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 te. Rotate, take, 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 take,